Good morning. As we gather this morning, the message that I want to share with you began stirring in my spirit while I was in Guam and has only been reinforced since by a number of different events and issues that have come my way. As I address this topic today, I want to be sure that you understand I am not condemning everyone that uses the internet or social media. That is not the purpose of this message. But what I do desire to do is to attempt to help us all recognize the spiritual dangers that are present in the technological age in which we live. So let me give you a backdrop for what started there in Guam. I had the privilege of meeting with four young men that were part of the Harvest Baptist Bible College. They were fifth-year students. They were all fixing to graduate. They were going to go back to their various islands, and on those islands, they had a desire to try to start ministering to their people. All of them had the same circumstance in that they all were the only members of their family that were believers. And they all had the same burden that going back home was going to be a real challenge for them to live their faith. And after we had discussed several things to that nature, we were about to the end of the time allotted, and one of the young men asked me a question. And I could tell it was a very heavy thing on his heart, and the other three young men that were there chimed in right away that they were concerned as well. And it involved a theological question that they had seen something posted on the internet, and they were quite troubled because it disagreed with what they had been taught, but yet it came from someone of authority that they were acquainted with there on the campus. And so they just really, the young man just looked me in the eye and said, "What about this?" And so given a short amount of time that I had to answer that, I took him to the scripture, and we looked at several passages that I believe very thoroughly refuted what they had seen on Facebook. And the relief that came over their face as they had a biblical answer to respond to this false teaching was really encouraging to me. But I want to say this. There are some young people like that that are really wanting to know the truth. They're wanting to be followers of Christ, and they use technological tools that are available to them. And if they do not have the maturity, and if they do not have the teaching and the counsel that would push them in the direction to properly handle such things, they are very, very vulnerable. And so that's a burden of my heart. Next, I would like to share something with you, and as I do, we can perhaps all have a sense of someone that we know that might fit into this category. Alex was 23 years old and a Sunday school teacher. Desperately lonely, she just wanted someone to care about her. That's when the terrorists found her. As a toddler, Alex had been taken from her drug-addicted mother and given to her grandparents. As a young adult, she had few friends and spent most of her time streaming Netflix and checking her social media accounts. After reading an article about a horrific beheading committed by ISIS, Alex posted a critical comment online. A young Syrian ISIS fighter replied. Alex was shocked and curious. She wrote back. The two began Skyping. Soon after, an ISIS recruiter named Faisal got in touch with Alex. He even sent gifts to her home. Faisal told her that ISIS's only goal was establishing a homeland where Muslims could be more faithful in worshiping God. He spent hours on social media responding to Alex's questions, listening, and identifying with her sadness and loneliness. Receiving this level of focused attention wore down Alex's resistance. She stopped listening to Christian music and began listening and playing ISIS anthems on her smartphone. She began to fantasize about escaping her boring life and joining ISIS fighters in their cause. In the end, Alex converted to Islam. I actually have brothers and sisters, she posted on social media. I'm crying. But surprisingly, when Alex told Faisal she had found a mosque just a few miles from her home where she could meet other Muslims, he discouraged her from attending. He warned that she would be persecuted and even labeled a terrorist. By the time her grandparents caught on, Alex was on the brink of joining ISIS. Convincing her that ISIS militants aren't cruel people, they are just trying to survive like everyone else, that thought took a hold of her and began to change her entirely. Lonely and under pressure, Alex didn't realize she'd become a target. She didn't notice her mental alarm switching off. She didn't grasp the subtleties of Faisal's brainwashing techniques. Middle East expert Nazel Wedaday said, "All of us have a natural firewall in our brain that keeps us from bad ideas. ISIS recruiters, and I would say many others, look for weaknesses in the wall and then they attack." Faisal made Alex feel wanted, even while walling her off from her own family and other Muslim converts. As Mubin Shakya, a former recruiter for a radical Muslim group, said, "We look for people who are isolated, and if they are not isolated already, then we isolate them." Ironically, though, Alex didn't feel isolated by her ISIS contacts. She cared for them and felt they cared for her. Yearning for connection, Alex opened herself to a counterfeit version of love that nearly drew her into Islam's most extreme sect. And we have all heard news items about young people who have been contacted online and how they've been groomed and how they've been drawn and how they have been abused by someone that has taken advantage of a weakness that they perceived in this young person. And it's not limited to just the young. We also know that there are older senior adults who've had their bank accounts drained by someone so slick posting as to begin to communicate with them online and draw them off and say, "I need this amount of money and this amount of money and I'll do this," and blah, 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 until before they know it, they've been had. We live in a different age today, folks, and this technological age has some advantages, and we acknowledge that. But there are also some risks, and we need to acknowledge that as well. So as we look at the ultimate issue of what is it that we need to be alerted to? And that is, if you look in your bulletin, I want you to notice something that I printed there. It's on the left-hand side of your page there on the inside. From Ken Ham and Bodie Hodge, this quote: "There are two religions in the world, God's and not God's. Or, another way of putting it, God's word and man's word. There's only two." Now, there are a multitude, and we've started this morning in Sunday school a study on cults. And there are a multitude of cults. There are a multitude of false teachings and sects and whatever other name you want to put on there. But friends, it really narrows down to just two things. Those who are really in connection with God and the authority of God's word, and that's directing and controlling their mind, and those that are in all the other directions following man's words and man's teaching and man's ways of life along the way, and as a consequence, lead them into disaster. As we think in terms of God, I would look at, on your outline, God is revealed in his creation, and it will be a situation that whatever his creation has revealed about him, his inerrant word will verify and support. It's interesting, in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, there's a powerful, powerful passage. And it speaks about the Bereans, a group of believers in Berea. And it says, "These were more noble than the Thessalonians because of what reason? they received the word with readiness. We sang the song, open my eyes that I might see, and my ears that I might hear, etc. They received the word with readiness. The apostle Paul was their teacher. But what did they do? They took what he taught and they went to the scriptures to verify it. Now listen to me. At that point in time, they only had the Old Testament to verify with, because the New Testament was not completed yet. But these people had the character, they had the wisdom, they had the caution in their system that when here's this man teaching these saints, and they said, let's go find out, let's go find out, let's go find out. And so they went to the Word of God. I want to share just a handful of passages, and they're printed out there. We're going to go first to 1 John chapter 4, and verses 1 through 3. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Friends, listen to me. On the basis and authority of God's word, anyone, any group that does not acknowledge Christ as he is revealed in the scripture is of the spirit of Antichrist. That's what the word says. And one of the things that we have been intimidated in the 21st century is that all this tolerance and diversity stuff is that if you are that narrow in your belief, that you're some kind of a hate monger. But here in God's word, he warned clear back then that we needed to be aware of what are going to be the battles that we would face. They had no idea back then about getting online. Okay? They bumped into people. But today we are online, and you know what's amazing about getting online and all this is how people, with the tools that are available, I mean, they can make something really terrible look really wonderful. They can package and repackage in one thing and another and make it so tantalizing to draw people in. And they can say, we have this new information, and our new information says, friends, if it's not in the Word, then it's wrong. That's what we need to remember. Another passage of Scripture, 2 Timothy 2:15, says, study to show thyself approved unto who? God, a workman that needeth not, what? To be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Cutting the word straight. That's what rightly dividing means. You cut it straight. Ladies that do sewing, if they can't cut straight, they're going to have a problem. Okay? Likewise, we need to cut it straight. This rightly dividing the word is very important. Here's a phrase, and we're going to emphasize a lot in our study in the cults because it is so critical, and that is people that do not have a understanding of systematic theology are going to get confused very, very quickly. Rightly dividing the word of truth is you are studying God as he has revealed himself and his interaction with man from Genesis through Revelation, and how at different points in history God has worked in unique ways to bring forth his revelation and to fulfill his covenants and promises that he's made unto man. And so we're to rightly divide. We're to study and show ourselves approved unto God. It's not, I can just study and that way I can know more than somebody else. That's not what it's about. But it's being able to answer before God that, yes, I understand your word, and Lord, I can defend your word because you've revealed it to me. Look at the next passage that I have there for us to look at. And we read this passage this morning in Sunday school, but it's still good an hour later. Okay? We're looking now to 2 Timothy 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 13, but it's talking about what is it going to be like in the last days, these days in which we live. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But what's the command to us? But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee what? Wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God has given us his word, and it is his word that equips us completely for the work that he has for us to do. That work includes defending the faith. One of the things that Jude writes about in his little epistle, he says, I started out to write of our common salvation. And then he said, I was overwhelmed that I needed to warn you that you must earnestly contend for the faith. In other words, we must defend the truth of God's word against the deception, against the attack, against the opposition that is out there coming our way. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Doing what? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And then it goes on to describe a bunch of the things that are going on in our society right now. And so the warnings, and this is just a scratch of the multitude of passages that give us warning along the way, what we are seeing is here is the revelation of God as he has made himself known in the word. And with that also a warning of watching out for the not gods that are going to be coming and how you defend yourself against them. Well, so here's gods. And there, I want us to look next at the men or man or woman. It doesn't matter. I'm not picking on one or the other. There are several classes that I want to kind of identify. And the first one is a saved individual who is genuinely born again. He's submissive to God. He's spirit-filled. He's dependent upon the authority of God's word. This individual, the internet and social media can be a powerful forum for such a person to try to reach out and proclaim the truth of the gospel. It can be a very effective tool. But by the same token, I want to say this. They need to heed the warnings that we've read already here this morning. Watch out. Because here's the thing. If we are not continually staying fast with the word, then somebody with a new idea can begin to get us to peel off from where we ought to be. Let me ask you a question. Does anyone here want to try to give me an answer as to why there are so many different denominations in the evangelical world? What do you want to give me an answer? Why is that true? George. Okay, exactly. That's the correct answer. Someone has a passage of Scripture. They interpret it a little differently than it has been, you know, traditionally interpreted. And so here they go. And here's another, and here's another, and here's another. And so we have all this veering off that's going on. And friends, though those situations may or may not, listen to me carefully, may or may not endanger your salvation, what they can endanger is your peace in your heart in the following of the Spirit and the Word of God. Because you begin then to be doubting, and you begin to be chasing, and you begin to look at other variances, and before you know it, you're like a lost man out in the desert wandering around and wondering what it really is that you should know and should be following. So you got that lost person who could genuinely be a blessing to people on the internet, but they need to be careful. Secondly, you've got a saved person, but that saved person is carnal. He's confused. He's grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit of God because he is not, unfortunately, living his faith and staying in the Word. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 1 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another Apollos, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal?" And so a person who is not indeed walking in the Spirit, not filled with the Spirit, not grounded in the Word, but living in the world, but still kind of trying to get out there and have an influence, he is a vulnerable kind of an individual. In Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 11, it says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." A carnal believer is very vulnerable to someone who's going to spin something their way. They're not sensitive to the Spirit because they're not walking in the Spirit. Their discernment is very low. Instead of studying to show themselves approved unto God, they're just looking for some new thing. And the result is they become very, very vulnerable. Peter writes that as newborn babes we desire the sincere milk of the Word that we might grow thereby. Peter writes, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." A carnal Christian is not growing. He's not feeding on the Word. And yet he may, in the flesh, want to jump online and try to interact. And when he does, he's likely to demonstrate his ignorance and immaturity by being drawn in to some false teaching and be in trouble along the way. There's another group of those that are lost, and that is that we want to address those that are following some form of the devil's deception. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is dealing with his frustration, I guess is a good way to say it, people that he had poured his life in to try to get them on ground with the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, he says of those, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." They are blinded by Satan. And as they're blinded by Satan, here they go. And they can be online and they can sound very intellectual. But Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world and not after Christ." Watch out, Paul warns. In Philippians chapter 3, he gives us a sense of what he felt about false teachers when he says, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision." And these individuals that he's addressing are the Judaizers that came along and said, "Here's what you have to do. If you're going to truly be a Christian, then you have to become a Jew through circumcision, keeping the dietary restrictions, etc." So he says, these are dogs. That's pretty strong words. Evil workers, watch out for them. There's another category that we can look at, and that's the lost that are actively functioning as some form of false teacher. They have a mission. They're on a mission, and that mission that they're on is to try and lead people into the trap that they have been taken in. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 1, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which we have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, ye might well bear with them. I'm going to spare going on with the rest of verses through 15, but Paul is addressing very clearly the warning that is there that we need to be aware of in our life. How many of you here this morning think it would be impossible for you to ever be deceived? I join you. It's possible. It's possible. And therefore, we need to take the subject very, very seriously and not let down our guard. In 2 Peter, it's interesting that as we treat these various topics, we're seeing that across the board, the followers of Christ had strong feelings about this. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words. I've got a little note in my Bible. The word feign is from plastos. It means plastic. It's where we get our word plastic. From plastic words made merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And then he marches on and shows of past judgments that God brought upon those who were false teachers and who were led astray and went in the wrong direction. In the book of Jude, we see him writing very strongly about this same subject. Jude has only one chapter. We're picking up with verse 12. Speaking of false teachers, these are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speaketh great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember you the words which were spoken before of the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These are they which separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. So, as we look, we've got gods and not gods. And therefore, we have a challenge to be sure that we do not allow ourselves be deceived and drawn away into the not gods and begin to reap the consequence of not walking in close fellowship with the Lord. I ask a question next of what is the motivation of persons posting information. As I share this, I want you to hear that this is also positive, not just negative. I'm not saying, as I started out the message, that everyone that posts is some kind of a wicked person. I don't believe that. There are different motivations that people have for getting on, and some of them are very honorable. And one of those can be evangelism. You know, we realize in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, that the Great Commission talks about us going to all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples. Okay? So someone with the gift of evangelism, someone with a burden for lost souls, they can take advantage of the tool that is present in the social media, and they can put together a very well-reasoned and well-presented presentation of the gospel, praying over it and trusting that God would bring conviction and repentance and salvation, that they might have an impact in somebody's life. There can be a very positive use in that regard. But even as I read this little story about Alex or Alexandra, there are others that are out there that are, we don't want to use the word evangelizing, proselytizing might be a better description, and they are out there to win souls too. And that's why we must be very, very cautious that we don't get led astray by a trap that is set for us there along the way. Discipleship, likewise, is commanded within the Great Commission. And a mature Christian can have a ministry as he systematically disciples someone online and leads them to a systematic theology, understanding of Scripture, and help them to grow and mature. It can work very powerfully. And that's one of the both blessed things as well as insidious things about it, is that the internet is worldwide. You know, you say, I want to have a Bible study. Well, you have a Bible study with somebody in your community, or you drive 30 minutes or whatever. With the internet, you can go to Russia overnight, as it were, in a matter of seconds, and you can impact others. But the reality is, in doing that, the other side also has those same tools. And so they are discipling. How many of you understand that the Jehovah's Witnesses have a weekly class training their followers how to go out and witness and try to win people from Christianity over into the Jehovah's Witness faith? Okay? They have that kind of a training program. Other religions, cults, also do the same thing. And so as we look at discipleship, it can be good or it can be bad, depending on who's doing it and what their purpose is along the line. Recruiting. We reference ISIS using it as a recruiting tool. Cults also can use it as a recruiting tool. We as believers perhaps need to consider, can we adequately present in such a way that we can recruit and draw people to the church and to the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Defending. There are areas of ministry that we know as apologetics. 1 Peter 3:15, we've heard many times. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer. Apologia is the word for answer. That's a reasoned explanation, a clear understanding of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. We're commanded to be ready to give an answer, and defending is a valuable thing to do. Cults are also trained to do the same thing. And so we need to be aware of that and be careful. Attacking or arguing. Let me ask you a question. How many of you this morning, in just a flash of memory, can remember someone in your school class group who always wanted to argue regardless of what the topic was? Anybody here remember anything like that along the way? Okay. Most of us can say, yeah, or maybe I was. But, you know, online, there are those that their whole purpose is to try to argue, to debate, to be the devil's advocate, we sometimes say. And so here they go. So an innocent person gets online and begins to follow someone like this, and before you know it, what happens? Their faith has been destroyed. their faith has been destroyed. And that's a very, very scary thing to do. And the last days, we know that that kind of crowd is going to be active. So, in summation, what should we do about it? How do we respond? What's the job that we need to consider? Go burn your computer? No, I'm not talking about that. But I remind you that Christ and Paul and Peter and John and Jude all warned about deception, all warned about false teachers, all challenged that we needed to work very, very diligently so that we would not be deceived, sucked in, and led away and led astray from the faith. They all gave that kind of a warning. And so in that listing, they said there are primarily two groups that you needed to be very much aware of. One was wolves in sheep's clothing. Christ warned about that. Paul warned about that. He said as he wept with the elders from Ephesus that his burden was that what was going to happen in Acts chapter 20 was after he had departed, he was very burdened that what would come in would be these kind of people who would lead them astray. Wolves that would come and seek out the weak and in doing so finish them off along the way. And that there would also be those that would rise up from within. And as they would rise up from within, they'd want to start their own little church or their own little group. And they would use deception to ultimately destroy the body of Christ in the process. All because of their self-seeking glory that they wanted for themselves. So what do we do? First, beware. Beware. It's sad that we have to be so skeptical today, but that's what we're told to do. And we're told that as we get nearer to the Lord's return, it's going to get worse and worse. So we need to beware. Secondly, we need to be serious students of the Bible, of the Word, and test everything that we read, whether online or in a paper form, against the Word of God. Try the spirits to see whether they be of God. Everything. We need to test it. Thirdly, we need to be walking in the Spirit instead of being in the flesh so that we are able to have discernment. Friends, if we are carnal, we do not have spiritual discernment. That's just the reality. We can't be lukewarm and have a hot spirit toward discerning false teaching. Fourthly, we need to recognize if you get a red flag notice from the Spirit of God, you need to stop and go no further until you find out why the Holy Spirit is giving you that red flag. You can start reading an article or something, and as you read along, it starts out, and you say, yeah, 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 yeah. And then all of a sudden, they say something, and you go, whoa! That's the Holy Spirit of God giving you a warning. You know, the reality is cults and these other groups, they want to see how they can deceive. And so they will package their package with Christianese. They will even perhaps use scripture. They'll use things that will kind of lead you up to a point, and then they'll insert this new direction that they're going to go. A text out of context becomes a pretext, and off they go. And if you get a red flag and you ignore that, you're in trouble. Klaus was telling about somebody that came in and had a red light on their dashboard. Klaus says, get some black tape and put over it, and then you'll not see it. He didn't do that. That's a joke, okay? But friends, listen to me. If God gives you a red flag, what ought you to do about it? You better pay attention. You better say, whoa, okay. He's trying to get my attention. He's trying to warn me. That leads me to the next item, and that is that you check questionable things out with mature believers. Okay? Find someone that is mature in the Word, someone that is faithful to the authority of Scripture, and you say, I have a question about this. What do you think? Listen to what it says in Proverbs 11:14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. There is safety. Proverbs 24:6, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, And in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. What are counselors? These are qualified people to give you advice that helps you to understand why you should or why you should not do a particular thing. And if you all of a sudden are starting to read something and you're kind of getting sucked in and you're starting to get red flags, then you better get together with someone who's mature in the faith. You know, I'm available to meet with you if you have a question like that. You have other people that you know who are mature in the faith, and you can go to them and say, I need some help here. I got a feeling there's something that just doesn't feel right about that. And here's what's likely to happen. They will say, well, don't you see this? This violates scripture right here. This is false doctrine right here. And you'll get your answer. Or maybe, in fact, what you read that initially you kind of react against, this may be truth that you've never been exposed to before that you need to know. And if you go to mature counselors, they'll say, well, yeah, that's supported here and here and here and here. And you will find yourself then indeed growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning, if I were to send you a text, or if I were to send you an email, and I were to say in that text or that email, I don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, how would you respond? Now listen to me. This week, I read that the present Pope said he does not believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ. So what do you do with something like that? See, we live in a time when shock effect is there all the time. This new thing, this new something else, this new teaching, this whatever. And if we don't watch it, we become either numb or dumb or gullible, or we just begin to say, oh, what difference does it make anyway? And we give up the faith in the process. We need to be on fire for the gospel. And we need to be defenders of the faith. Jude said, earnestly contend. You know what that actually is? Do battle. Earnestly wrestle with in defense of the faith. And we are being bombarded by all the lies that are coming against the Word of God. So we better get in shape by studying, defending, and practicing the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have an enemy. Your Word says he is a liar, he is a deceiver, he is a murderer, and he has been that from the beginning. And your Word says that he has blinded the eyes of people, and that he has people that are following him, and he has those that are doing his bidding that are even masquerading around as angels when in fact they're demons. Lord, we need to beware. We need to be serious. Lord, we need to be effective in defending the faith. This morning, Father, however you have spoken to our hearts, I pray that your Spirit would move us to be earnest about our faith and jealous of the authority of your Word and bold in the defense and presentation of the pure gospel. And help us not to be ashamed, Lord, to present the gospel, but also not to be ashamed to deny or denounce those false doctrines that are out there that are destroying people's lives. So Lord, use us to be your light and your salt, Lord, that we might not be good for nothing, to be cast out and trodden under the feet of men. So quicken this message to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to our closing hymn, if you would, please. Closing hymn number 320.